We serve a mighty God. He's a God that is faithful. He's a God that is excellent. He's a God that remains God. And so if I were to ask us this morning to start talking about the goodness of the Lord, I know quite a lot of us will probably write a book. I was speaking with a friend, he said, if I'm going to write a book about my life, in fact, 1,000 pages, we'll continue. I said, then that means you'll be a bestseller. And perhaps you can get some income from it as well. But it's just to tell us that God has been good in many ways to us. Oh, yes. You are here this morning. It's because you still have the breath of life in you. You can wake up this morning and lift up your hands. It's because God is still good. And he still has the universe in his hands. I remember someone who woke up one morning and he was ready to go to work and everything well set. His clothes, of course, well, the laundry, everything. You know when your lines, when the lines are coming out on your shirt. Brothers, you know now, Abi. Well starched. Everything is set. And then he got up and then he was about to just took his bath, came back. Just after putting on every other thing, just to pick that same shirt and then the back snapped. Not 2 months, not 3 months, not 4 months. It was off work. And that's just the nature of man. Now we're saying we're serving an ever reliable God who is ever present in any continent of the earth that you've ever been to. He is always there. No matter the languages. Even if you don't understand language, God understands the season. God understands the season. Tell your neighbor, God understands the season. So it's not about being able to speak French or Spanish. It's the season. And when you serve a God that understands the season, you have the ability to cover everything anywhere you may go to. And so when it was the season early this year, and the man of God came forward and said, it is the season for multiplication and fruitfulness. And then somebody will say, Habba, what are you talking about? Now, in retrospect, it looks like, was he really sure? But, you know, our God is a faithful God. And so when God talks about the season of fruitfulness and multiplication, and then you have less than, is it 2 months or 3 months to go in the same season, and you're asking yourself, is it ever possible? For God, all things are possible. It doesn't take God a second to transform you from where you are seated right now to another place of glory. I have witnessed appointments that lifted people from one position to another overnight. I have witnessed many circumstances, unbelievable circumstances, that I even ask myself, this person looks more like Cornelius than a born-again Christian. He feared the Lord. And so the season that we are in, when we talk about the season of multiplication and fruitfulness, my brother and sister, what I'm here to do very, very briefly this morning is to tell you that that season is real and that season is still alive. That season is not dependent on your bank account. That season is not dependent on how strong you are to do a dash of 100 meters. That season is nothing about you. It is a season determined. Amatan, rain, sunshine, morning, evening. It is predetermined. It's been there. It is set. So what then do I need to do? Why is it that it doesn't look like a season yet? I remember an experience that a friend had when he came and he said, it looked like everything was going upside down. I said, no, it's not going upside down. Why are you saying it's going upside down? Everything is getting better. I said, no, it's getting worse. I said, why? He said, just some months ago, I lost my sister. I said, yes, I remember that incident. He said, now, my dad. I said, yes, I remember. He said, now I have this burden of debt that is like a sinking hole. I said, yes, I know. I said, but yet you are still the same person saying it. He said, yes, because you still have the mouth to say it and you still have the voice to utter it. I said, so because that is there, we can change this season. We can pray. You still have a voice to lift up to the Lord. And then we prayed. And lo and behold, the transformation was radical. When I say radical transformation, I'm talking from transformation from when you say somebody was riding a Land Rover before, then all of a sudden started riding under pilot within a space of 3 months. It's not about the cash, no. Every other thing that seemed to be bothering him, it seemed as if the season that the Lord has called forth just came all of a sudden. So briefly, we look at a passage this morning, Jeremiah 17, verse 7 to 8. And we'll talk briefly on the title, The Demands of Fruitfulness. Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8. Hallelujah, somebody. Okay, I'm going to read. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when it comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Is the Lord talking to somebody here? Are you that person? Did he say, blessed be the one that probably sat in the governor's seat? Did he say, blessed is the CEO of Soso Bank? Did he say, blessed is the person that rides under pilot? Did he say, blessed is the person putting on suit and every other person is putting on a blazer? He said, blessed is who? If you know it, say it like you mean it. He said, blessed is who? Blessed is who? The man who does what? Trust in the Lord. When we talk about two things there, I want us to notice two things there. He said, trust in the Lord. And then he went further to say, and whose hope is in the Lord? Which means that you could probably believe that God is capable of doing everything. Trust is, I know you can do it. Oh yes, you can do it. You have a firm belief that you can do it. But he didn't stop there. And then he now said, it is not just enough to say, I believe you can do it. You need to have the hope that you can do it. And whose hope is in the Lord? Hope, in its definition, says is expectation, a feeling of expectation and desire towards something. So if I'm talking to you and I said, do you know the Lord can heal your leg? And you said, no, I believe in the Lord. That is just trust. Do you know that the Lord can actually heal your leg? And they said, oh, I have placed it before him. I've surrendered it all. Hope takes you further than just believing. Everybody in the world knows, even non-believers believe that there is a God. Even scientists will tell you at times that there is what? There is a powerful force. They don't know. The thing is just affecting things up there. Is that not so? They know. Our faith is beyond just natural, just knowing that God exists. We need to go beyond that if we're actually going to be fruitful. We need to go beyond that and exercise the faith that we have in him who is able to do beyond our what? What we believe, what we confess, and what we know can happen, because he will make it happen. And so, when I've committed my safety into God's hands, I believe that anywhere I am at any point in time, he is what? He is more than able to do what? To protect me. I remember an incident some few weeks ago, when during my travels, I had to lodge somewhere, and I was just walking, and then I started hearing some noise, and the spirit just said, get up right now. I felt What is that? He said, get up right now. So I didn't hug you. I've learned to just move. I don't wait. So at times, people are close to me, say, this man, I've learned to just move. Because I've seen so many things that shows that God is not sluggish. And so within seconds, I got up, I moved to the left, and then the old POP came down on the bed. Boom. Everything with the fan and everything on the bed. My laptop, the chair, everything went just like that. And I see that I was looking at it like this. I said, oh, okay. Very interesting. God does not work with the sluggish. Some of us are too sluggish. Some of you are still praying for what God has given you a commandment on what to do about, and you are sluggish. You are not moving. An opportunity waits for no one. The opportunity you are looking for to move to the next level is right before you, but you are so undecided and you are procrastinating, and then you miss it. Mercy will bring it back to you in Jesus' name. When he says, blessed is the man that trusts, and not just trusting, he hopes in the Lord. He said, he's also done, is what? He said, it's like a tree planted by where? By the waters. It's like a tree planted by the waters. But it's not just enough to plant the trees by the waters. He's also doing something. The Bible said he's extending his roots. Scientists will tell you that roots are geotropic in nature. That is, they are gravity seeking with no defined paths. Which implies that the root is looking for water, but it's been also equally pulled by gravity. And so it will start digging and finding its ways in that soil to get to what is what? Looking for. Some of us, our roots are so shallow. The Bible says, washing of the water by the what? By the word. The water there is the word of God. You are so shallow in God's word that your root is just on the periphery. Your roots is just on the surface. You are not responding to the force of gravity. The force of gravity are the issues of this world. It says, God, protect them. Even though they are in this world, they are not what? Of this world. This world has its demands. Inasmuch as you are here, you will face it. We will bury people. That is the reality. People will still be sacked from work. People will still wake up and say, I am hungry. That is the demand of this world. That is the demand of gravity on the roots. There is no definite path for a particular tree on how it's going to go through that soil to get what it's looking for. But the path has to be what? Found by you. You need to locate it. If you keep dragging your feet and you are not digging deep, getting yourself into God's word, knowing that you are standing on the promises. There's a song that says, standing on the promises. I'm not too good with that. Please help me. What does it say?
Standing on the promises of Christ my King.
Yes.
Through eternal ages, let his praises ring.
Yes.
Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing.
I will shout and sing.
Standing on the promises of
you
God.
Will only, thank you so much. You only stand and sing when you are standing on who? The promises of God. And so when you see a circumstance and you are saying, Brother Wale, not you. We said, Daddy Wale, let us pray. And then, say, what does the word say about this? The word says, I am the head and not the tail. My head is anointed with fresh oil. I am lifted above principalities and powers. I will prevail. That is God's word. And so when you see God's word and you dwell in God's word, your root begins to enlarge. It begins to grow. It goes further and further. It goes further and further. He said, you are consciously seeking the water by spreading out its root. Now look at something. He said, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. That's verse 8. Which spreads out his roots by the river and will not what? And will not what? And will not what? Fear. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. But he has given unto us. Yeah, let's call it. The spirit of love and of sound. A sound mind discerns the season. A sound mind discerns the season. This passage is not saying there won't be heat and there won't be drought. He said the year. It's very specific, meaning that definitely there's going to be famine. He said the year. He's not anxious. He's not fearful of the year of the famine. He's not anxious. He's not fearful of COVID. He knows COVID is there. But that is not the basis for your fruitfulness. He knows. He hears. He feels. He knows that deep things, those deep things that you are praying to him about. And he will bring them to pass in Jesus' name. You know, another thing that he mentioned there very quickly is, he said, his leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. We've spoken about that. He said, now will it cease from what? Now will it cease from what? Now will it cease from what? Scientists believe, not just believe, we all probably have, of course, experienced it. As the plant draws up water, it grows, the stem grows towards the light. It increases. It's growing taller and taller. The leaves start doing what? Spreading out. Spreading out. And then it flowers. And then it brings forth the fruit. But there's something interesting. There are some plants that they will never flower and be fruitful if there's no pollination. No matter how you try, if there's no pollination, it won't happen. A pollination means that there is what? A movement by something picks it up, drops it on another plant, and then keeps moving. So it could either be the fly that will carry it, put it on another plant. Is that not so? Or the wind will blow it and then blows this seed on that plant and then blow it on another so that it could bring forth fruit. Is that not so? And then if the scientists are going to help you, just like Jesus said, there will be grafting, there will be pruning and some other things, just like the angels would do. So some of you, you don't even bother to bring out the flowers. You don't want to. Our excuse is that, God, I don't have money in my pocket, so I cannot be helpful. If you don't have flowers, you can't be fruitful. You are not ready. The leaves will just be green, and then Jesus will be walking by one day and just says, this thing, you are making me hungry. Psh, put a curse on it. The Bible said when Jesus Christ spoke to that tree, Mark chapter 11, he said, what happened? He said he dried up to his roots and died. The root also had to go with it. Don't draw my water anymore. It's not useful to me. I don't want us to be in that position. We always sing a song, God, use me for your glory. Don't use stone to replace me. If you continue to draw from the water and you are looking green every day and there's no benefit for every one of us, everyone has no business with you. You are not an investment to heaven. That was what Jesus Christ was saying to that fig tree. You are not an investment to me anymore. Stop wasting my resources. But as much as you are an investment to heaven, he has an authority to protect your interest. He has the reason to make sure that you are fruitful even when there is heat and even when everything is dry. Even when schools have been on strike since January, he has an interest to ensure that a firm from US will come and say, pay stack, I'm paying $200 million to buy you over. Because of what? Because you have made an effort to push. I don't know the last time probably you called someone and you said, let's pray together, brother and sister. I have a prayer point. Do you have a prayer partner? Do you even pray with somebody? We've left some of the fundamental principles that actually ensures our fruitfulness. Do you ever deem it fit to even call someone and say, let's share the scripture together. Let's see the light in the scripture together. And then let's see how it blooms, how it grows in us, how it empowers us, how it lifts us from where we are. We are still waiting for somebody to appoint us and give us position so that we start riding car on the street. You are missing the point. If you don't bless people, if birds don't see places to perch, if there is no shade provided by your tree, nothing is going to come to you. You will remain as you are. You just be green. People will be seeing you that you are green, but you won't be fruitful. We need to change our mentality. It is not until everything is rosy that you know it is time to be fruitful. No, that is not heaven's mentality. Heaven's mentality is silver or gold I have not. But what I have, I what? I give unto you. In the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Do what? Rise up and walk. That is heaven's mentality. Heaven's mentality is not about the money you have in the bank or your pocket before it gets things done. Testimonies is not about how many thousands you have in your account. Testimonies is about the fact that God knows that if he gives it to you, you will give it to the next person. You will give it to the next person. It will be a blessing to hundreds of souls. Then God knows he can trust you with it. If you don't do that, you will remain the way you are. You are fine. No problem. Continue. Continue. You're beautiful. No problem. However, the root and the principle of fruitfulness demands that you wake up. Dig deep with your root. Go through paths that never been gone before, that never been gone through before. Create a new path for yourself. Shine and let it bloom. Be a blessing to people around you and the generation. Pray and identify needs of people. Pray with them. Oh, I have a headache. God heals you, sir. You are blessed. I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but I can bless you. I have 3 shoes at home. My brother is needy. He's walking around. You know that that shoe is bad. Instead of you taking care of that need, you are going around telling people that you see that that brother is just wearing 1 shoe all the days of his life. You will remain as you are. You are not doing it. One day, you just want that same brother, because he's been spreading his tentacle, he's been doing one thing or the other, his fruitfulness will shine forth. His season will come. His season will come. And so, my brothers and sisters, God is never a liar. His prophet tells the truth. And when he says it is the season for multiplication and fruitfulness, there's a demand on you to do the needful. Are we going to do the needful this morning? Are we going to do the needful this morning? I want you to rise up on your feet as we round up. You'll be the one to call on heaven. You'll be the one to tell the Father, I need to shift from here. I need to shift my mentality. I need to shift from here. I'm going to open my eyes going forward to start seeing needs that I can meet. I'm going to open my eyes going forward to start pushing for growth in the right direction. I'm going to respond to your call, to that which you have. Psalm 1, which is, I love David so much because he always catches the revelation of heaven in many ways. David was very clear. He wasn't missing words. He was very clear as to what it should be. He said, and I know some of you know it by heart. He said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He said, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, because he meditates day and night on the law of the Lord, he said in verse 3, he said, he shall be like a tree planted by the river's waters that bring forth his what? Fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. That's why I love David, because he sees beyond this presence. That's why God said he's a man after his, because he sees beyond his presence. He's very present right now. He sees beyond it. He sees the Holy Spirit. He witnessed both generations, both sides. And so what was being spoken of in Jeremiah was what he broke down in mere words for you and I. So tell the Lord this morning, Lord, I depend on your word. I will feed on the word. I will make myself responsible going forward. Ah, my season of fruitfulness has come. Your grace will abide with me. Your mercy will be upon me. Father, Lord, I speak mercy upon your children this morning. I ask the Lord, as many as have lost the opportunity of fruitfulness, Lord, let it be restored. And this part of the year that is left, Lord, let there be redemption. Let there be fruitfulness. Let there be going forward. Let there be a going forward. And let your name be glorified. That testimonies may abound. And well, the Son of Man, we will come with testimonies to the glory and honor of your holy name. Thank you, our Savior and Redeemer. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.